Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 14 of Revelation chapter 8. And we're going to be reading verses 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And as we've been going through Revelation chapter 8, verse by verse, we've seen that God's strong emphasis is upon his judgment on the corporate church, the New Testament churches and congregations who he had warned. He had given them space to repent, and he had said in the book of Romans that they ought not to be high-minded, but fear, for if he spared not the natural branches, which would be national Israel, take heed, lest he also spare not thee, the New Testament churches. And yet the churches did not fear God. They did not humble themselves and submit to the commandments of God, but they did as Israel before them, and they developed other gods, which in the New Testament era took the form of other kinds of gospels and other types of doctrines. And so God, as a result, came at the point in time that he had long before determined to do, and he came in judgment in the 13,000th year of Earth's history to begin the end time judgment process. Judgment began at that point at the house of God. And that's what we're reading about here in verse after verse in Revelation chapter 8. And now in verse 10, the third angel or messenger sounded. And remember, each time one of these trumpets sounds, it's as though the word of God is proclaiming it, because the trumpet is identified to the voice of Christ, and he is the word. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And verse 11 tells us the name of the star is called Wormwood. But let's just look at the language of verse 10 for now. There fell a great star from heaven. And that's what we're given to go on in order to try and identify, well, who is this star, or what does that star represent? And as we think about it, we see, well, it's falling from heaven, and therefore the star was located in heaven. And we can think of some possibilities just based on that. But we find our answer actually when we check other places in the Bible, when we search the scriptures for language concerning a star, not stars, as we know the believers can be typified by stars, but star singular. And we do find in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 24, that God makes this statement in verse 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Now this is actually a messianic prophecy. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Now a scepter is something that a king would have. A ruler would possess a scepter to rule over his kingdom. And this is a prophecy speaking of that king that will come and be king of all kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And we know this is the case. because it's plainly declared in Revelation chapter 22 in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I am, the Lord Jesus Christ says, the bright and morning star. So we have no doubt the Bible confirms that Jesus is the star, singular, and we also know that he is in heaven, and so it fits very well that there fell a great star from heaven. And the word great also has application to Christ more so than anyone else. He is the great God and therefore the great star from heaven. And this great star fell from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And notice that it speaks of burning and lamp. And when we check out the word lamp, we find that, well, that relates to the Word of God, because Psalm 119 gives us a verse that defines the lamp as we read it in the Bible. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God, the Bible, is a lamp. And Christ is the word made flesh. He is the great star falling from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Why? Because the word of God is coming in judgment and fiery wrath to begin judging the churches. They have been unfaithful. They are now objects of the wrath of God. The wrath of God is being poured out upon them. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge who is coming to execute judgment upon them. And so he is likened as a great star from heaven, which fell from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And then it goes on to say, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Now we also have a similar verse in the next chapter of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 9, in verse 1. And I want to read this because we can see here also that Christ is in view. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit and so forth. And then the locusts come out, and there's 5 months of torment. And Revelation 9 is describing in detail the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth, upon the unsaved inhabitants of the world, upon the entire world. And Revelation 8 is describing the judgment that is more exclusive, that is targeting the church only. But then in Revelation 9, it's transitioning, it's expanding to include the world. And we have very similar language of a star falling from heaven. And in both cases, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the star. He is the one falling. In Revelation 8:10, he falls upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters to let us know that the ones that are experiencing God's fury are the churches. Again, the third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters, as rivers and fountains of waters identify with the gospel, with the teaching of the Bible within the churches, and their proclamation of the word of God, otherwise known as the gospel, as they would share the gospel to their congregations or in any form of outreach via their church, in missions or any other way. Their waters, and spiritually, God likens the sending forth of his word to water. And God says in Isaiah, he opened up rivers of waters in the wilderness. And that was an image illustrating the sending of the gospel into this dry land, this dry world. And wherever the gospel came, it was as a wonderful water of life that brought salvation, as God would save individuals through his word. Just as people need water to survive physically, so does a sinner need the gospel water to survive spiritually, eternally. And now God is striking the water. He is bringing a judgment upon the water that is flowing in the church and out from the churches in their outreach to the world. All the waters, the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, are being struck by the star that fell from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. We can visualize that. Just imagine a star falling from the heaven above, burning on fire, brightly illuminating the sky, and landing in the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And it strikes the water. And what happens? Well, verse 11 goes on to tell us what occurs. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. It is as though that star, whose name God gives as Wormwood, turned all of the waters that it touched to wormwood. And this is just language that is describing the Lord Jesus Christ executing his plan of judgment upon the churches. And it is language that indicates that the gospel waters have been changed. They have been turned into something else, something not drinkable, something that will not bring life. But rather they turn to wormwood and men die of the waters that once brought life and salvation, now are bringing death and hell. These waters are made bitter. Well, let's look at some of the Bible's language concerning wormwood. And this word is used a few times in the Old Testament. Let's begin in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 29 and verse 18. And there it says, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from Jehovah our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. And here God is warning Israel, which in turn would be a warning to the congregations, that if you turn away in your heart from serving the Lord and serve other gods of these nations, and keep in mind that in the Old Testament they would literally serve idols and false gods, and yet that is really a picture of the New Testament church that develops another gospel. And, of course, the New Testament church is not so crude as to carve an image, although some still do worship idols in their church doctrine. But for the most part, the New Testament church does not make a literal physical image and say, these be your gods, O Israel, and bow down. No, but they have their theologians, they have their most intelligent pastors and ministers create doctrines and form other gospels. And this is done with words. It's done with, some scripture passages and a misapplication of them. It's done with the mind of man as men write books and commentaries and confessions and creeds. And these things take root within the congregation, within that particular denomination. And then the church holds on to them above the Word of God, over the Scriptures. Their authority is no longer only the Bible and just the Bible, but their authority is the Bible and what our renowned theologian thinks about the Bible and what our church history has developed regarding a confession concerning the Bible. These things, in addition to the Bible, become our God. They become what we obey, what we serve. And so an idol is developed, and every church today has these idols of doctrine. Well, no, don't go into a church, but in the days when God's people would go into churches and congregations, when the church age was active, and when you would find out what that church taught and believed, you would find an immovable doctrine that they would not budge on. And it didn't matter if you could show from the Bible that that doctrine was not true, that the Bible didn't teach it, they still would not budge. We have held on to that teaching maybe in some churches for hundreds of years. And you think that you're going to come along and show a couple of verses and cause us to leave that doctrine and that teaching? No way. And this is why churches have opposing doctrine. They will not humble themselves and submit themselves to the doctrine of the Bible only, and only the Word of God. They hold up these high places of other teachings, and what form of worship took place in Israel's high places? It was idolatry. That's what went on in the high places of Israel, and that's what has gone on within the churches and congregations. And so this warning applied to Israel, and it applied to the New Testament church, that if you do go and serve other gods, there will come among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Now, the Lord says a little bit more about wormwood in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 23, and beginning in verse 14, it says there, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. And again, God is looking, yes, at Jerusalem of old, but Jerusalem and Judah are a type and figure of the church. He is looking at the sins of the church, the errors of their teaching, and the lies that they have put forth in place of his truth. And he sees Sodom and Gomorrah. Therefore, as a result, God says, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. That is, I am going to come upon you falling like a star from heaven, and I will land upon the third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters, and I will smite the waters and turn them to wormwood. And when you drink the waters, you will die. Men will die as a result of these polluted waters, of these gospel waters that ought to have been pure in their flowing forth from my word through your lips, through the teaching of your leaders, your teachers, and yet they were never pure. You trodden upon my word, therefore I will finish the job, and I will make the waters no longer clean, no longer able to bring life, but only able to bring death. And that's what God did. When God departed from the church in May of 1988, in the 13,000th year of Earth's history, immediately the gospel waters in all churches all over the world, and we're talking about a lot of churches in every denomination, millions and millions of churches and about 2 billion professed Christians within those churches, suddenly their waters turned to wormwood. Instantaneously, at the moment that the Holy Spirit departed out of the congregation, that's what happened. That's what took place. Now, let's just look at one last verse concerning wormwood in Proverbs chapter 5. And here the Lord is speaking of a woman, a strange woman, in verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. This woman would be a representation of the church, of a church that has the word of God, because God likens his word to honey and a honeycomb. And so the lips of the strange woman drop as a honeycomb. She can quote the Bible, just as Satan and his emissaries are. Satan comes as an angel of light, and his emissaries as ministers of righteousness. They come with Bible. They come with the word of God, and yet her mouth is smoother than oil. It's a very deceptive declaration of God's word, and it is extremely deceptive. Even those of us that, by God's grace, have learned the truth of the gospel, and we know the things that God teaches in his word in many cases. And so when we hear the churches teach contrary, we're able to recognize it. But it is extremely deceptive and very hard to resist when someone comes speaking smooth things and kind things and gentle things, and they seem so nice, and everything is so positive, and well, this is really a wonderful gospel. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life, and just think of all the blessings that will occur when you become a Christian, and when God's on your side. Just look at the promises of the Bible and claim them as yours. Everything will go well. That there's such a power to persuade men, because people want to think that God loves them. People want to think God is going, once they choose him, that now God is on their side and everything will go well. They want that to be true. And so there are men that Satan has raised up within congregations that will tell people what they want to hear. They will tell them smooth things and things that tickle their fancy and tickle their ears, and they're not hard things. The true gospel is so harsh at times, so extremely hard to hear. Remember when Jesus would speak it to the Jews, they would say, "Who can hear these things? This is a hard truth and difficult." And God is just too honest, too straightforward, and our situation is so bleak and so bad. And when God tells us the honest truth of the matter, we just don't like it. Let not God speak unto us. Remember the Israelites said when the mount was burning, we cannot go before God. And so people prefer to hear the words of men over the words of God. They prefer to hear the lie that will speak good and confident things to them than to hear the truth that grieves them and just causes them to be troubled in mind and so on. And so the strange woman fills the need of a great many men that want her. They desire her. They want her over the woman, for instance, that is found later on in Proverbs, the virtuous woman, the woman that typifies God's elect. No, they don't want that woman. They'd rather a strange woman. And then it says in verse 4, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And again, God first says, now here is the sin. Look at this strange woman. The fact she's a strange woman indicates that she is not the bride of Christ, and yet she has dared to take my word into her mouth, and as a result, the judgment is in the end that her end will be bitter as wormwood. I will strike her waters and turn them to wormwood, making them bitter, causing all the drink of those waters to die. And sharp as a two-edged sword. And once again, just like the burning lamp fell, the great star, which was wormwood, fell as a burning lamp into the third part of the rivers. Here, God also is linking together the turning of the gospel to wormwood and the bitterness of the water to his word, because the word of God is likened to a two-edged sword. We know from the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 4, verse 12, that the word of God is a two-edged sword, and here God is joining the two ideas together, that his word will perform the judgment at the time of the end. And that's precisely what God did when he opened up the scriptures to reveal the truth that the church age had ended. Then immediately God's people realized, oh, we have to get out of the church. There's no salvation here. We can't drink of these waters. We must flee and drink our own water. Outside of the congregation, God is still bringing forth the latter rain, and there was abundant water flowing, therefore, in the world outside of the churches, but the water of the church was undrinkable. It was a dirty, filthy, polluted water, bitter, that would only kill. And so God's people did leave the church. And it was the word of God that struck the water of every church as God opened up the scriptures to reveal these things. And that's why it's as a burning lamp. And that's why here in Proverbs 5, it speaks of the sharp two-edged sword.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.